Psalms 127, verse 1. If you don't have it, it's up on the board there. It said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. All right, you guys can have a seat. So, my opening statement is this. No good, God-honoring marriage happens by accident. Every part of the process is important. And every part of the process requires attention and labor on our part. Amen? I get couples sometimes that come to me and in the past, and these are couples that, you know, that don't go to church here, and that, you know, I get referrals all the time, and they want a quick fix on my couch on how to have a great marriage, and that can never happen. That's impossible. My couch is not that powerful. Just isn't. My couch doesn't operate that way. It doesn't have special powers. But what does work is the Word of God applied to our life. You see, the Word is not just good for salvation. The Word is also good for the salvation and the resurrection of your relationships and your marriage. The Word of God is quick. It's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does this. It not only pierces our hearts and pierces our spirit, but it also pierces our marriage and course corrects our relationships. It sounds poetic to say the Word of God is quick, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide both spirit and soul, joint and marrow. But whenever that is directly applied to our relationships and our marriage, it's cutting. It's hurtful. But in the midst of that hurt, in the midst of that cutting, in the midst of that dividing, there's also hope. There's also healing. And we can trust the Word of God to bring healing to our soul. So the focus for today is on our foundation. See, every foundation worth building on is built by following certain steps. I was telling my son today that I get inspired by, with sermons, by weird places, right? You know, earlier this week I was driving down the road and I saw this lot that was being cleared. And there was a bulldozer there and it was bulldozing everything in that lot. There's some kind of health food store going down somewhere by the fire department in Howard. And so they were bulldozing this area and there was a lot of stuff on it. And the Lord started to, that's not the picture down in Howard, but this is just an example of it. But here today, when I'm talking about foundations, there are certain processes that you have to go through in order to build an adequate foundation that will support your home and support your marriage. And this is the first one. Number one is to clear the land. If you put that picture back up, this is what they're doing here. Before any work can be done on the foundation, there is a work that needs to be done first to prepare the ground by removing whatever is in the way, whether it be debris, rocks, trees, boulders, whatever it is. How many of you guys have been watching the PGA Championship at Whistling Straits here in Wisconsin? I was watching an interview with the owner of that golf course, and he said, we have came a long way since we first opened. When he bought the land, it was a dump. It was a dump. In order for him to put a golf course on this land, he had to clear it. And whenever we want to build a firm foundation, the first thing we do is not show up with a concrete truck, a cement truck, and start dumping cement on the ground. That's not the first thing we do. The first thing we do is to clear the land and to get everything out of the way. Now, in doing that, you're tearing down trees, you're moving boulders, you're clearing everything out of there that's not supposed to be there so that a foundation can be laid. Because we can't just dump cement on the ground. We have to have the land cleared first. And that's the same in our marriage as well. Whenever we come in and we join, the Bible says, you know, when the two shall become one flesh. Well, before that, each separate flesh has all kinds of different experiences. And we have junk in our life. We have debris that needs to be moved out of the way. And we bring stuff into our marriage that we never took care of before we came in. And we thought, well, if we get married, that's going to solve the issue because we're married, right? We're probably just going to work it out. Whenever Dana and I got engaged in Bible college, one of the things that they required us to do is to go through premarital counseling. Our premarital counseling went this way with the dean of students. We went into his office, and I took a notepad and a pen. You know, I just couldn't wait to get this godly advice about, you know, about marriage and you know, all this godly wisdom. And he didn't even give us a chance to sit down. He came behind his desk, came out where he was at, and he grabbed our hands, and he looked at us, and he said, "Are you guys fornicating?" I was like, "Well, hello to you too, Mr. Dean of Students. Nice to meet you." And I was like, "No." And he goes, "Let's pray." And then we prayed, and that was my wisdom, our premarital wisdom from the Dean of Students at my school. And but whenever you come together before marriage and you get that counsel, and I've counseled some of you guys in here and married some of you guys in here as well, and I spoke about honor, I spoke about loving one another, I spoke about finances, I spoke about the past and what you're bringing into the marriage and what you're taking from the marriage and what each and every person's responsibility is in the marriage. Because we come with two different sets of opinions, two different walks of life, and we create this one thing called marriage. And man, it is hard. It's tough. And in the midst of that, before we come together in marriage, we've got to do something called clearing the land, clearing the property. And that means removing things that we know that need to be dealt with. Those things that need to be uprooted, those things that need to be plowed away, those things that need to be taken away in order that a foundation can be built and work can begin. Now, in the process, it looks like we're destroying everything. We're tearing down trees. Why are you tearing down trees? That boulder's been there for a long time. Yep, and it needs to go. That tree has been there a long time. Yeah, it needs to go. And so we deal with these things before we enter so that we're not dealing with them whenever we get into the marriage. And so we have to, number one, clear the land. Now, some of you come in here with less junk than others, but in either case, those issues, if unresolved, will lead to a collapse in your marriage. If it is sin, then repent of your sin. If it's wrong thinking, replace it. If it's unfair expectations, adjust them. Maybe you're operating in the realm of guilt and shame in your marriage. That's a funny thing about guilt and shame, is that we try to hold on to that guilt, and we build up walls around it because we don't want to deal with that guilt. We don't want to dredge it up. Pastor, you don't want to dredge up stuff, right? I mean, we put a wall around that, and we put a fortified door on it, and we dealt with it by just covering it up. But the Lord wants to take everything that you have erected, and he wants to level it. Because the Bible says, and we just read it, in Psalms 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Some of us are building structures we have no business building. In order that we can hide and protect our wounds, so that we can hide and protect our guilt and shame. But the Lord says, I want you to expose that in order that I can forgive you and bring healing to that. Amen? See, the Lord doesn't expose things to bring shame into your life. He exposes them in order that you can see the truth of what they are, and He can bring healing to it and forgive you. You see, the enemy wants to take our shame and our guilt, and he wants to define us by it. Well, I can never do that because of what I did. Or I can never have this great of a marriage because of, well, I just come from a long line of divorcees. And it's just inevitable. Sometimes we need to correct our thinking and push back and clearing that out of our life so that we can build a foundation, that the Lord can build a foundation upon which we can build our house. Now, say all that to say this. It sounds easy, right, to change the way we think, but it's not. It's very difficult. It's not easy to change patterns. It's not easy to change our ways because we've seen it demonstrated so many times in our life, whether it be growing up or seeing it in our mom and dad's life or seeing it in a friend's lives or wherever the situation may be. But when we come to Christ, and He forgives us of our sin, when He heals us of our past, then we need to trust Him with our marriage as well. Because our God is a faithful and just God that can heal us. Amen? Now the second step in building a solid foundation is this. Setting the batter boards. Now, I didn't think that these were really that important, to be honest with you. I just thought, well, this is a lot of extra stuff. But I really didn't think that there was a need for them. But as I was studying the process out and pouring a foundation, I found out that I was wrong. Batter boards are used to set the dimensions, to square it up, and determine the elevation of the foundation. So the batter boards are a tool that determines the success of your foundation, as you can see right there. So my question to you is, what standard are you using to determine the health of your marriage today? What plumb line are you using to measure whether your marriage is healthy or not? Because I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times we use what we can see in our society as a gauge to whether or not we are healthy or sickly in our relationships. Well, my marriage is not as busted as theirs. My marriage is not as twisted as theirs. So I think we're doing okay. We're kind of in the middle of the road. But see, those batter boards work not only for that foundation, but they work for another foundation and a foundation after that and after that and after that and after that, because they never change. And the plumb line that we use as believers, and I'm not talking here today if you're not a Christian. I'm talking about as believers in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our foundation, our center point, our plumb line, and our standard for all of our, not just our marriages, but our life, is the Word of God. Now, I wish it was more profound than that. But it seems so many times that simplicity escapes us. Because the Word of God is able to transform not only our lives, but our marriage as well. It teaches what a man of God is supposed to be. It teaches us about our roles. You know, if you're playing on a basketball team and you're never taught where your role is, and what you're supposed to do, all you're going to be doing is running around on the court, wasting energy, getting in your own teammates' way. You might even try to guard them at some point, right? How weird would that be? And you're never told you should play post, and here's what the post does. The Word of God provides that for us in our marriage. It teaches us that a man of God, a man is supposed to be the priest of his home. And that batter board is set for the husband. That batter board is set for the wife in her role as well. And the children as well. And so when we begin to understand that we are supposed to love our wives as Christ loves the church, then we begin to understand that we can't love our wife in our own self. It has to come through the Lord. Because we don't have enough love. We don't have enough understanding or wisdom to operate our marriage and our relationship like we ought to. It's got to come through our dependency upon the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is like those batter boards. The Bible's not optional for a believer. And in our marriages, we've got to search out the Word of God, because without it, we're just wasting energy. Without it, we're guarding our own teammates. Without it, we're in their way. Without it, there can be no true peace and joy in our life. We've got to have those batter boards so that we can square up our marriage, so that we can elevate to the right level, which is to the throne of God. Every marriage, every individual marriage, everyone in this room has got to find their square in the Word of God. Their plumb line cannot be this society. Culture changes. Right and wrong in cultures change with leadership, changes with the times, changes with events that occur. So there's no standard that is right all the time. But the Word of God never changes. It stays true. It is our plumb line. It is our true north. When everything else is shifting, when everything else changes, when the redefinition of marriage changes, the Word of God stays the same. No matter how we feel in our marriage, no matter where we are in the state of our marriage, whether we're up, whether we're down, our plumb line cannot be based on what our husband is doing or how our wife is feeling. The plumb line is the Word of God. Because it isn't based on how you feel, it's based on the heart of God and the wisdom of God. And that, church, never changes. The third step in building a solid foundation is building the forms. The forms are 2x6s, or they can be bigger or more complicated than that. They're used to form the outer edges of the slab. And here's some questions you need to have already answered before you build the forms. Are they built strong enough to hold up to the pressure that will come from a slab, from the slab itself? And is it high enough to keep the water out? And as you can see, that's the forms. They're getting ready to pour that foundation. And what the forms also do is it creates a line that is recognizable to everyone of where your foundation is set. Now, because we lack biblical convictions in our country, marriages are collapsing all around us. Each and every one of us, if I asked to show a show of hands, could know somebody that's been divorced, and maybe you've been divorced yourself in here as well. But God is in the business of restoration. Amen? We're not just stuck with the state of who we are. God changes things. When we come before Him, He doesn't, in repentance and sorrow, and say, Lord, forgive me. I've made mistakes. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for the way I've managed my family. Forgive me for the way that I've treated my wife, or I've treated my husband, or the way I've raised my children. Forgive me, Lord. We have a gracious and merciful God that does this. He forgives you. And when we say, Lord, would you cleanse me? Will you teach me? Holy Spirit, be my guide and form up my life so that there'll be a firm foundation built upon it. Do you know what happens in those moments? The Holy Spirit comes in and He begins to form up your life. And when those forms are set, I would like to think those forms as conviction. And when those forms are set, and we begin to, and the Lord begins to form up those things, what happens is that there's so much pressure whenever concrete is poured into those forms that they had better be built correctly. Otherwise, they will collapse and spill all over the place. And it's good for nothing. But forms are set for a reason. The Word of God is or are those forms. And they create barriers there. Convictions so that when we cross those barriers, the Holy Spirit comes in, brings conviction, and puts us back in the right setting again. You see, conviction isn't something from the devil. It's straight from God. Correction, conviction brings us in the right relationship with God again. It's through His grace, it's through His mercy that we are allowed to be His children. And to go into this marriage situation with forms in our life, with boundaries in our life that clearly define who we are and what we're about. You know, how is it that a Christian couple can be married for 20 years, still clash and bicker and complain over the same thing for 20 years? Or how can they be married for 20 years and then crash and burn? We need the Word of God to form our convictions and guide us in our marriages again. Number four, the fourth step in building a solid foundation is reinforcing your foundation with rebar. There's a picture of it right there. The forms are set. The land's been cleared. The forms have been set. The rebar is in place. Rebar enforces the concrete. It makes the foundation stronger to withstand the test of time. In the case of a foundation, real strength lies in the reinforcement of the rebar that runs through the cement. And the rebar here in this situation is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, listen, it is important that I go away. Now, I don't know if there's a more profound statement ever uttered on the face of the earth or in time. Jesus, the Son of God, who came in human form, knowing that He was about to be killed, told His disciples, listen, I must go away in order that the Holy Spirit would come. That He would be your paraclete, those that one is called along beside of. To be your strength, to be your wisdom, to reinforce everything that I have spoken to you, He's going to give you power to walk it out. The Holy Spirit is, if you put that picture back up there, the Holy Spirit is your rebar in your life. You can't see Him. No one else can see Him, but they see the fruit and the strength of the foundation through your marriage. Not that it's perfect. Not that it's stellar all the time. But when you go through difficulty, you're not talking about divorce. When you're going through a hard time, you're not talking about leaving. It never enters your mind. Now listen, Dana and I, next month, will be married 18 years. 18 years. And there have been some tough times in our marriage. There have been low points in our marriage. But in those low points, the one thing that has sustained us and caused us to work it out, even through gritted teeth, is the Holy Spirit. When we called upon Him and said, strengthen us, guide us. Because the weight of this world and situation right now is upon us, and I feel like that our foundation is about to pour out over the sides. And the Holy Spirit has a funny way of coming in and bringing strength and stability to a shaky situation. So the rebar is important because it's not about what's on the surface. It's about what's underneath. It's about what you're made of, what your marriage is made of. Is your marriage made of guilt? Is your marriage made out of manipulation? Is your marriage made up out of fear? If you don't do this, I'm going to leave. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. If you don't change your ways, well, what about you? You know, a lot of dads would say, "I'd die for my kids. I'd die for my wife." But that's easy. My question is, would you live for them? Would you live for them? Would you demonstrate to them what a godly man is? Will you live for them and show them how to be sacrificial in your giving, to love someone else greater than yourself? Will you live for them? See, dying is easy. It's living that's the hard part. It's being that example. It's checking out is easy. But it's the ones that stay and say, "Lord, not only change my spouse, change me. Change my heart. Reestablish those batter boards in my life. Square up my life again. And if I've built my foundation too low, Lord, would you please form it up once again so that the rain and the elements will not come over my foundation." It's important today that we understand that as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of the Son of God, that we have a standard that this world doesn't have. We have an outlet that this world does not have. And that outlet, that standard, that strength, that hope is found in one man, and that is Jesus. He is strong enough to forgive you of your sins, and He is strong enough to restore and to reestablish your marriage. Number five, the fifth step in building a solid foundation is work the concrete as it comes to you. If there is a blessing in marriage or life that is absent in concrete work, it is that God gives you the opportunity to correct areas of your life that you have not given proper attention to. And here's the picture right here. In concrete, if you've set your forms, concrete truck comes and it starts pouring out, at that moment, you're stuck with whatever you got. It's final. Unless you go in and bust it up and you want to pay a whole lot more money to reestablish forms, dig it out deeper, and nobody in this room wants to do that. And so we have to work that concrete as it comes. But the thing about the Lord is that we don't have to live with what we've got. We don't have to live with who we are. We don't have to live with the beliefs that we have. They can be changed. We are not concrete that we cannot be reformed, remade. Jesus is a master at doing that. That's what He lives for. If you don't like the way you are or the attitude that you have, you pray and say, "Lord, my attitude reeks. I need you to form me up again. I need you to set those batter boards in my attitude so that it is squared again, so that it pleases you. I repent." You know, there's a difference between saying I'm sorry to the Lord and repenting. Saying I'm sorry to the Lord means I'm sorry that I did it this time. I'm probably going to do it again, but I'm sorry for this time. Repenting means, "Lord, I am tired of the way that I am. My attitude reeks and my house is suffering for it. Lord, I repent of my attitude. I repent to the way that I am treating my spouse or my children. Teach me a better way." Give me grace to change. Some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, I'm divorced now. Then work on yourself. Say, Lord, square up my life. Place those batter boards in my life. Before you even do that, Lord, plow the entire land, the property of my life, the circumference of my life, plow it out. Take out the rocks, take out the brush, take out the garbage, and reestablish me again. There's nothing wrong with working on yourself, amen? We are not old dogs that can't learn new tricks. We are believers in the Son of God who transforms our life and creates inside of us a new heart and a new spirit that is honoring to Him and restoring to our marriage. Now, I believe our marriage is like the cement trucks that show up on the job as well. Life starts showing up one load at a time, doesn't it? And sometimes it seems like the trucks are just endless, backed up. And we get a front row seat to it because of all the roads that are being redone. Because you see these trucks and you see that Scott's one of them. He's right there delivering all that cement and dirt and everything. He's doing it right along. So honk at him next time you go by him. But it just seems like life comes one load at a time. And there's no end to it. It's just constant. And in the middle of that heavy flow in our life, we've got to jump in with both feet and get busy. Otherwise, it's going to overrun our life. That's why we have to be a team. That's why we have to know our place and men take the lead. And let me say this, men. Ladies are tired of leading. The Bible says that's your job. We are to be the priest of your home. Start leading, amen? Start leading. I implore you to do that. I'm not up here bashing you because I'm not going to do that. But if you lack courage to lead, pray and ask the Lord to help you lead so that when that cement truck comes, you are ready to receive it, amen? You're ready to work it. You're ready to put it in its place so that it can form a foundation for your marriage. Number six, lastly, apply the finishing touches. Now, there's countless ways to finish concrete. Some people like the stain look, while others like cuts in the cement. Others like the brushed look, and there's all kinds of different ways to finish cement. My point is that concrete work, the final look on the surface, isn't the most important thing. The real strength in it is how it was laid, how it was founded, what it's built upon. We spend way too much time on trying to create an instant finish or to bring about some sort of pseudo look of success. And we say, oh, I'm okay, everything's okay, but everybody can tell that it's not okay. There's no shortcuts to a long, healthy marriage. It takes time and it takes work. Amen? And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to build the house in our life. Now, some of you here today, some of you guys have more junk to clear away than others. Whatever your situation is in your life, know where you are in your marriage and be brave enough to admit where you are so that you can come to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, right here in this situation. I need your help. I need your healing hand. Maybe you need to take your spouse by the hand today. Matter of fact, let's all stand up this morning. Maybe you need to ask God to reveal flaws in your marriage so that you can repent and move forward. Maybe some of you here today have heard the Lord and the Holy Spirit speak to you so many times about specific things in your life. And you've been inspired when you heard it, but when you left, you forgot it. The Holy Spirit is here today to bring those things back into your spirit in order that you can make those things right again. Guys, I'm going to tell you today, there's an all-out assault upon marriage in this country. An all-out assault upon your marriage, your relationship. And some of you here today, I've seen the power of God work in your life and your marriage, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. A restored life, a restored mind, a restored heart, a restored marriage is no simple task. It takes two parties willing to do their part in order that God may be glorified and our foundation be established, that no matter what happens, whether if a storm comes through and 60-mile-an-hour winds blow, we still hold strong. Today, I want to pray over you guys. If we would, let's bow our heads. Remember the verse, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. My question today, are you tired of building the wrong thing? Because it seems that we're very good at building walls and not foundations. We're very good at building barriers, but not square foundations. Today, maybe you do need to take your spouse by the hand. Maybe you do need to come to the altar. Maybe you need to go home and have a conversation and say, you know, I think there's some junk that we need to clear out of the circumference of our land. And it's going to be ugly. And maybe it's going to be painful. And maybe for you, it's a new thing. Maybe for you, it's the acceptance of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, whatever state your marriage is in, wherever you are, that batter board is the same. That plumb line is the same. And that's the Word of God. It doesn't change. It brings healing and restoration. It takes broken things. Those things that everyone else has rejected and said, you need to cut your losses and get out. Jesus can redeem that. He can heal that. He can bring restoration to that. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you so much that you establish all of our ways. In the darkest times of our life, your word is a light. It provides sure footing for our life. It creates a plumb line for us. It establishes forms in our life. You teach us how to work that concrete as it comes to us. You teach us the importance of the rebar, the Holy Spirit that is the enforcer in our life, that is the strength in our marriage. And today, Lord, I pray that if there are any marriages in this room that are off square, sometimes we don't know our foundation is off square because it's such a big foundation. But once we begin to start building our walls, we soon realize that we're off by 6 inches. And then when we realize that we're off, everything else that we put onto our house is off as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you would reestablish those plumb lines, that you would cause us to square up our foundations again. And Lord, if we need to tear down everything that we have built in order that you can build the house, then Lord, I'm willing to do that. Redefine my marriage in order that it may glorify your name and bring healing to my life and to my family. God, may you bring peace in troubled areas. God, may you bring a bulldozer if necessary. Because we know, Lord, that your hands are skilled. We know that your hands are trustworthy. We know that your word is true. And because of it, Lord, I choose to build my house upon your foundation. Not upon the shifting sand of life, but upon your word that is the plumb line of my life. God, would you forgive us today for being ornery, for not heeding your word, Lord, for not wanting to repent, for not leading, for not knowing my position. Would you restore my soul? Would you heal my heart? Would you bring a right conviction in my life in order that restoration can happen in my marriage? Would you restore my soul today? And Father, I pray that you would bring humility to our heart in order that we can receive your truth graciously, so that when your truth confronts our life, we accept it graciously, Lord. And if we have to watch what our hands have built crumble to the ground, then Lord, give me the grace to say, okay, not my will, but your will be done, in order that my marriage can be saved, in order that a right foundation can be laid again. Thank you, God, that you make all things new, that your grace is sufficient for my situation, that your grace is healing in my marriage, that your grace forgives me of my sin, that your grace allows me to accept your word in order that healing can be applied. So, Lord, I've done what you asked me to do. I preach what you asked me to preach. Now, Holy Spirit, would you do your job in speaking to our hearts? May you move on us. May you bring truth to us. May you cause all pride to be stricken to the ground, in order that we could reach out and say, I need help. I need to be realigned, not by my plans, not by my standard, but by your word, Lord. Help my wife and I to become one flesh again. So that our feelings toward one another is that of love and not guilt. That it's not driven by animosity. That it's not driven by fear. That it's not controlled by manipulation anymore. So God, I let go of my hammer, I let go of my nails, I let go of my plumb line, I let go of all these crude tools that I have. And Lord, I wash my hands of it, and I repent before you, Father. And I trust your skilled hands with the one tool that you have to restore my life, to bring healing to my marriage. Today, if you need prayer, and listen, I know that it's 12 o'clock, all right? If you need prayer concerning these things today, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is here, and He can set those things right today, right now. Hey, listen, we've been waiting all week to go to church, and you are here right now. Don't squander it. If you need prayer today concerning anything in your marriage, or if you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior to establish a foundation in your life today, don't leave without doing it. Amen. Don't miss your hour of visitation, because He is here ready to do those things in your life. If you need prayer at all, I want you to come. If you need prayer at all, I want you to come today. And then we're going to dismiss.